Welcome to Coaching and Cocktails, the podcast.
Oh, God.
We'll start.
Oh, are we on?
Yeah, we're live. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. We record on random days of the week. So, yeah, it's Friday. And sure. I was strangling myself with my headphones as we logged on.
There's a lot that happens behind the scenes here.
Nobody knows what happens in the 10 to 20 minutes we do planning before we actually start recording.
Yeah. A lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I promised I would start with my my review of the school year thus far. So Nick started school on Monday. And I'll just kind of give a quick, and I'll let you, your brain process why this doesn't work, right? I mean, not the online learner. So I will say up front, so far, the online learning portion of it is going okay. He kind of comes in and reports, this is his fifth day of school. You know, he might struggle a little bit with algebra too, because he's just having a hard time learning that online.
And because that is hard.
Because it's really fucking hard. And I was like, well, I hope you reach out to the teacher because your mom and your dad can't help you with it.
I took it in college.
I took it in high school, but I don't remember it. And he was like, and he reads off this like equation that, you know, and it's like C times F times X equals, you know, whatever. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then he's like, and yeah. And then she said to graph it. I said, well, did you try just plugging that into like Google?
Did you try asking Alexa?
Because I'm like, 'cause I got nothing for you, kid. And I was like, how about Khan Academy? Did you try? He's like, yeah, well, that was the video she showed us, was Khan Academy. And he's like, and I still don't get it. And I'm like, all right, well, just reach out to her and ask questions. I said, we'll get you a tutor if we have to. But so far, the actual online learning of it works. Here's what I'll tell you doesn't work. So as of Monday, I think I mentioned this to you once, right? So in their normal school year, they have A days and B days. They have 90-minute classes, which is exactly what they're doing now, right? So there's 8 classes total. They have 4 on A, 4 on B, and they're 90 minutes apiece. And I think it works well, like, because it gives them, they have like 60 minutes of instruction, 30 minutes of like independent learning time, whatever. It's been fine. So during a normal school year, they would go, so like if school started on Monday, the first day of school is Monday, they go A, B, A, B, A, week one. And then the next Monday would be B, A, B, A, B, right? So you end up having, you know, 3 A's 1 week, 3 B's the next week. But like if there's a holiday Monday, you still just pick up, right? So because this weekend's a 3-day weekend, it would have been A, B, A, B, A this week and started B on Tuesday next week, right? So you just keep going, right?
Right.
So you don't get one day more than the other. Well, on Monday at the beginning of the school year, Wednesday, so there it was just A and B, A Mondays were A days, Tuesdays were B days, Thursdays were A days, Fridays were B days. Okay. And then Wednesdays initially were going to be these like small group class project, only if the teachers needed them, kind of kids that need special help days. And they were going to be half days.
Right.
And we're like, okay. So basically Nick has Wednesdays off. That was our thought process. Right. Then right before everything started, they're like, no, Wednesdays are going to be every other week, either A or B day, but still half days. And again, still this like smaller classes, whatever. So still nobody really knows what the fuck Wednesday is. Then midway through the day on Monday, school's already started, by the way. they're like, nope, Wednesday's going to be a full day. And it's going to be A 1 week and B the next week and alternate. So if you think through this, let me just tell you how the first 2 weeks go, right?
All right, because you could have like an A, B, 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 A, right?
Right. So this week was A, B, A, B.
Right.
Next week, because there's no Monday, we're going B, B, A, B.
Right.
So you have 3 days of the same class, and we have one A day and 3 B's next week.
Right.
And I'm like, and because there's a lot of Monday holidays, I'm like, this isn't right. Like this is the logic of this makes no fucking sense. And then when, and he's on class, right. On Wednesday, which is an A day,
and then Thursday, which is also going to be an A day. And the teachers are all like, yeah, we're going to take attendance, but meh. One of his teachers literally is like, yeah, I don't really like Zoom that much. I'm not going to be on here that much. And I was like, wait, what?
Really?
I was like, wait, what?
That's an option? That's a choice?
I was like, wait, okay.
You had that option?
So
I know.
I'm hoping they realize the error of their ways with this whole Wednesday thing and just go back to what they did.
Right.
Maybe, you know, it's just every day you go to school is the next day, right? So if there's a holiday, you're not like one day is more than, you know what I mean? It's just like, it just doesn't make any fucking sense. So yeah. So that's where we are the first week of school.
I mean, as you're talking, I had to think about, I don't know if I reposted this, but there's that scary daddy. I think that's what his name is, but he's so funny. He's a comedian on Facebook. He's like pretending like he's a mom and he's talking on the phone. He's like, yeah, do you remember? You remember all that math that we said we'd never need? Well, now we need it. Now we finally need it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I said, on the plus side, the actual classes so far seem to be going okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's only the first week and it's sort of like, introduce yourself and tell us about your, you know, it's kind of like the assignments are make a Bitmoji for your class and the, you know, and it's like, okay. All right. So we'll see how things go. Supposedly there's no homework. So, because I mean, all the work's home at this point. So like, is there really any point to have homework? And because they have this like 30 minutes of like, cause they have 60 minutes of instruction and 30 minutes of like, do your work time.
Right.
There should be no need for homework. And then they have Wednesdays, which are all fucked up. So there's time to do work, man. So yeah. I don't know. Right. You know, and then meanwhile, the governor has basically blasted PG and Montgomery and the other six counties that didn't even bother to put in a hybrid, you know, like any kind of like hybrid kind of plan. So there's all that. But anyway, and then the other thing I can complain about, because I have a whole fucking list.
Is this the airing of
Speaking of notes, yesterday, this isn't to complain about, but yesterday, you know, we're like in the middle of like all the tornado warnings and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like when I had to drive Nicholas, like, we get the warning and I'm like, fuck, I got to take the kid to work, right? So I'm like busting ass to get there and get home. Of course, like I'm in the middle of it by the time I get home and I'm just sitting in the driveway because it's like, buckets of rain. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna bother to get out. And and Eric's on the porch and we're texting each other because I'm like, I'm not gonna get out of the car. And he's like, holy shit, what was that noise? And I didn't hear it. And he's like, something just crashed to the like to the left of us. And I was like, oh well, I'll go look. So I pull out of the driveway and I don't get but 100 feet down our street. I mean, it's raining buckets, so I don't even know how I saw it, but we had a street light fall over.
Oh my God.
Into the street, right? So it was literally covering the whole road and there's no way somebody would have seen it because it's a gray street light, right? So and it blends in with the street and it's pouring down rain. Eric, you know, we called, I'll give the city a buoy is, I mean, they're always on top of shit. We called them and they were here within like 5 minutes. The police were out there and actually the police just picked it up and kind of laid it. Yeah, at least got it out of the street. And I was like, oh, I figured they were just like, I don't know how heavy those things are, but I don't know. So they did that. And I think that might be all I have to complain about today.
Well, it's funny because my kids have tornado PTSD.
Because Nebraska, you lived in Nebraska.
And we went through two tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were little, like Brooke was probably 3 and Katie was 5. So as soon as they saw that come on the TV, they go up. I don't say a word because actually we had friends over here last night. We're borrowing something from Jim. They go upstairs. They pack their backpacks and they go to the basement.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
yeah.
That makes me kind of sad.
I mean, they do. They just, I mean, their backpacks, it's useless shit. Like Brooke had like.
You got to have like Goldfish and like your, right. You know.
No, it was like. It was 9 Beanie Boos, her iPad, and a blanket.
Oh, I'd have the Goldfish.
So, I mean, it's so funny. And then you have to, like, explain to them, it's not here. We're not in Nebraska. And then they were worried. They were very, very bothered that they didn't hear any of the tornado sirens. Mm. They had to explain, we don't have those here. That was Nebraska.
Yeah.
Like, tornadoes aren't a as much of a thing, but
they actually had one touchdown in Annapolis, so it wasn't far from here. They confirmed one touchdown in Annapolis, and then it kind of headed out to like over the Chesapeake Bay kind of thing. It was certainly close, and we were getting the alarms on our phones, right? It's just like you hear every phone in the house, rah! So that's the only, you know, that's the alarm we get.
If we're airing grievances, I have one.
Okay, good. Let's go. I'm here for it.
This is probably just me, and I'll admit I'm in a phase in life. I don't want to learn new things. Mm-mm. I don't want anything to ever change.
Oh.
I'm not interested in even making things better. Let's just keep it all the same. The new Facebook, Facebook has finally forced me into the new format. Mm. Other people have probably transitioned.
I think I transitioned a couple of weeks or so ago. It just happened, and I was like, oh we're doing this. Okay.
And then it would say like, well, you can switch back to classic. And I was like, let's do that. Well, finally today it was like, sorry, this
your classic is gone. Like classic Coke. Yeah.
I hate it. I do not like it. I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, then get off Facebook.
Well, and I think that's honestly the solution. I can't even read it. It's like huge and bubbly and like hard to navigate. So I don't know. I don't know why
I wasn't a fan, but I didn't think I had a choice. So I just went
with apparently it. I don't. So I might be permanently done with Facebook because I can't handle new things. I don't want to learn new things.
Well, speaking of learning new things, I am the opposite and have decided that I am learning new things weekly. Because
really? As in.
So a while ago, I got this email from from NASM, because that's where I have my personal training certification. And it was like, basically like CEUs, I'm going to say for life, that might be wrong. It might just be for a year. Anyway. And it was like access to, and I was like, whatever, yeah, I'll pay the $150
it's for either
it.
Life or 1 year.
It was life for a year. I don't
know. That could actually be the same thing. Who knows?
I know, right? I was like, how'd they know my life was ending in a year? But yeah, anyway, so it was access to this like huge library of I think it looks like most of these were recorded at like one of their IDEA conferences or whatever. And I'm not sure I even like paid attention to like all the breadth of like all the different topics. And I was just like, yeah, I'll pay the $150 for life or a year or whatever it was. because I was at a point where I was like, yeah, I want to learn new stuff. So anyway, so I finally had time the other day and I went into it and I was like, holy shit, there's some like really interesting things in here. So I started like, I like downloaded all the like hormone ones and, you know, just kind of like reiterating some of the stuff I already know. And anyway, so I'm kind of, and there's some like behavioral ones and so there's lots of really interesting stuff. I've barely scratched the surface because they're about an hour and a half each, I think. You have to take a little test at the end or whatever. But so those are good. And I've told myself I really want to do like one a day because they're only like an hour and a half. But that was on Wednesday. And I did one on Wednesday and then I didn't do one yesterday. So we'll see if I do one today. But then also, you know, we get these, I get these Prince George's County Community College, like, you know, this thing.
The adult education.
Yeah, this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all continuing education classes. Yeah. Well, it usually goes right into my recycle bin. I was like,
I love them.
So I open it up and I'm like, okay, most of it, no. But there's like a whole wellness category. So I go into the wellness category of classes and I'm like, oh, there's some really cool classes in here. So I just signed up for a class called Brain Health, which is all about all the different segments of the brain and how each, like stuff you learn in anatomy class, but who the fuck, you know, continues to know that except for like a neurologist.
Like doctors.
right. So, and then it's all about how nutrition and sleep and stress affect the different parts of the brain. So the stuff that we do, right? So it just kind of enhance what we're doing with our clients. And then the other one I signed up for is called Living Mindfully. Right. Mm. So we talk so much about mindfulness and all this stuff. I mean, it was like 70 bucks per class or something like that.
Is it online?
It's all online. And yeah, so I'm doing like one runs from like October to November and the other is like November to January or something like that. So yeah. So look at me expanding, you know, at least enhancing my knowledge base.
Good for you. Yeah. I keep saying I'm going to learn Spanish and then I do like one page in the first grade Spanish book I have. And that's as far as
just do like Rosetta Stone.
I can count. I bought that and I never did. where I get stuck is I get so tired of being on a computer. Mm-hmm. Like my life is on a computer. So then when it comes to optional things, after I do all the things I have to do, I'm like, fuck that. I can't.
I think that's been my struggle too. Right. Yeah. Which is why I mostly have done my learning just by like getting books on Audible and stuff, because then I can just wander around and be in my kitchen and do stuff.
I can listen to podcasts or Audible. So like 40 hours a day
of books. And speaking of also learning more stuff, I'm telling you, I'm only three chapters in, but Gift of Fear, everybody needs to read.
Who wrote
every woman. it's okay. So it's really interesting. You need to look this up, because this guy has done a lot of work for like the CIA and government agencies, because he's basically like a threat analyst. Okay. He has this group, and you would think I fucking know who the
fuck. Oh, Gavin DeBecker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's who it is.
Okay.
So in the very first chapter, like he kind of introduces, and it's really interesting because he's like telling this story of like this, of how he's like he's kind of telling this story about how somebody is like analyzing this threatening situation where basically there's a woman with a gun pointed at this guy. And it makes it sound like he's an adult. Like this is almost like a scene that he's just like analyzing, like a practice kind of scene. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you find out that this is him as a 10-year-old kid, and it was his mother holding a gun to his stepfather's head. And then he goes into like all this, you know, he grew up in this like abusive, you know, this abusive and very what's the word I'm looking for?
Tumultuous,
physically violent household. so that's kind of what struck him on his path of doing the shit that he does. And so his firm, like I said, he's done stuff for like the CIA and the Secret Service, and he does stuff for like famous people and just average people and sports and athletes. So like he helps people and for like victims of violence, right? So he helps. Yeah. Helps like victims understand like, okay, well, like what were all the signs you missed, right? Like how could you have known that you were putting yourself into this situation?
Right.
And then the other side of like what he does is, so like, I guess if there's like, you know, like a famous person who's getting stalked or something like that. So his firm works with them to like help keep them safe. They're not like the bodyguards or anything, but it's kind of like, here's how you change your behavior. Here's how you know, like, is this person going to, you know, really be a threat or not be a threat? But it's super interesting. Super, super interesting. And it's all based on the fuck politeness concept, right? Because it really is, the book itself is really aimed at women.
Yeah.
Right? And it's all fuck politeness, right? It's like, you know.
I was just reading the review. Like I wasn't ordering lunch while you were talking.
No. I kind of figured you were.
But it talks about that. It talks about like the whole premise of his research is on intuition.
Yep.
And I guess his thesis more or less is that every violent act has a discernible motive and was preceded by clear warning signs.
Yep. And it's like everything is predictive. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to your intuition, and it's just really interesting, right? And he kind of goes through a scenario of this woman who ended up getting raped, and it started with this guy that helped her with her groceries, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like how that whole conversation panned out and the language that this guy used, right? And the, you know, but he's a nice guy. You know, it's just like so interesting. Like I said, I'm only three chapters in, but I am just like riveted. And I can tell it's just going to be one of those books that like every woman needs to fucking read this book.
Well, it's kind of like what we talked about. I think we talked about it last week about Oprah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the concept I think she taught us all in like 1984, if we were listening, about, you know, the universe, God, whoever sends you signs.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can be subtle signs at first, and those signs can get louder and louder and louder. But to his same point, if you are in tune with those signs, you can hear the pebble and get yourself in a safe situation before something catastrophic happens. And she, in that interview, she did an interview with Tracy Gold. Remember that probably 15 years ago, Tracy Gold, who had that drunk driving.
Yeah.
You know, and Tracy Gold's giving her her, you know, party line on why it happened, right? Basically her excuse. And like, she never drank, but she'd never drink and drive, but then she did it once and and learned from me, never. And Oprah stopped her and was just like, I don't buy that. What really? There were things that happened leading up to that, that you could have, like, that wasn't just a, there's no freak accidents, right?
Right.
There's no, often there's no unpreventable.
Nope.
I mean, sometimes there's accidents, right? But even that, like, I hate to say this, but a friend of ours yesterday, their college age daughter was killed. Oh. And it was, you know, super sad. Like, it's super sad, but it was a boating accident. So you say like, well, it was a boating accident, right? It's just an accident. But you know, like, did she have an intuition before? Did she have a gut feeling before? Well, we'll never know.
No.
But man, I mean, I believe in that stuff. Yesterday we had, I won't out the business, but we had somebody here doing something on the house and like he knocked on the door and I opened the door and I got like a, didn't get a great vibe. And I slammed that, you know, I was like, okay, do what you have to do. Bye. Slammed, locked, chained the door, went and made sure my back door was locked. Yep. Now, was the guy up to anything? Probably not, but it doesn't matter. I had that weird like,
And that's exactly what the guy talks about, right? It's like that exact thing. And it's okay to be rude, right?
Right.
And listen to that. And because you know what he said, he's like he talks about the guy asking, you know, trying to help a woman, right, in a parking garage, carry her groceries or whatever. He said, any well-intentioned man is not going to be offended that you say, no, I don't want your help.
Right.
No,
and he's not going to keep pressing it.
Right. And he said, and oh, by the way, a well-intentioned man probably wouldn't even offer a woman by herself in a dark parking garage help.
Well,
because he knows that's just sort of an inappropriate situation.
That's right. Right. That, I mean, that's exactly right. Like, even if it's chivalry and they had the best of intentions, any man who's at all tuned into this world would know I'm probably going to scare her more than help her.
Right.
You know,
and the whole reason I started reading this, and so it's not just like stranger danger stuff, right? Like, it's going to go into, you know, domestic violence. And obviously that's kind of how I got turned on to it. I think I heard about it in one of the podcasts I listened to. but then I was triggered by, you know, my neighbor who, you know, as I mentioned, I think in the last podcast is not only back, but texted me to tell me how, you know, the day that she texted me to tell me, you know, she's getting help and he's getting, and Johnny's getting help and she's getting help without him and they're getting help together and she's not forgiving him and she's not helping him with his legal troubles. And she mentioned something in parentheses about him going away in the sentence about him getting help. Yet that night they were all out on the patio partying.
Right.
So with, you know, other people. Right. And loudly and drunkenly, obviously, again. And I'm just like, oh, honey.
Yeah, you know? I mean.
So it's just one of those things. But that's why I started reading it. I think every woman should read it. I'm not even done with the book, and I know every woman should read it. So just go do yourself a favor.
Gift of Fear by Gavin DeSomething.
DeBecker? Is it DeBecker? What was it?
Gavin DeBecker.
Yeah, Gavin D. E. Becker.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah.
Super
well,
good.
That actually like ties right into what we're doing today.
Sure does.
So we're kind of actually we're sort of gearing up for our 1 year anniversary on the podcast. We just finished the big series on shows, right? The show cycle as we head into the some of the only shows of the year. So we thought it would be fun to take a break. And do something a little different. So the backstory on this is when we were in Florida in February, we've mentioned it before. We listened to My Favorite Murder, and actually, we could probably give them credit for us starting the podcast.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because so, we were like, "Hey, these two ladies—they're a lot like us. It's a whole different topic, but I think we could do our own podcast."
Yeah, and we really enjoyed it. And separately, there were just so many important themes, like much of what you're talking about, the Gift of Fear. they bring up a lot of important themes, like well beyond the entertainment part that they're putting forward.
Right.
So anyway, they do a segment in their show where you can send in your hometown murders. And we were in Florida and we both realized we had hometown murders.
Yeah. I don't even know how I missed mine. Do you remember that we had been trying to figure out hometown? And I was like, I can't think of any. I was like, I really can't think of any. And I was like, oh, holy fuck. How did I forget about the fact that I dated a murderer? How did I forget that shit?
Right.
Yeah. I was like, woo, I did have, talk about your recovered memories.
So when we were talking about the other day, we thought it'd be fun for us to talk about our hometown murders.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just because that's kind of a fun thing to do that's different, but I think it ties in, or at least mine, tie into so many themes of what we talk about endlessly, unrelated to fitness and nutrition, but what we talk about as far as women, female empowerment, mm-hmm. and what mine women need to do to make themselves safe, and the things we need to do to change things in this culture. If it's ever going to be different, it's on us right now
right.
to make changes.
I'm going to let you tell your story first.
Okay. So mine is actually a family murder. And like you said, I wouldn't say I'd forgotten about it, but the way it was always brought up in my life, it was just kind of like this weird factual thing. I never really thought of it like a murder. But the reason why I want to tell it right now is it has a direct tie to the Joseph DeAngelo story, and that is, he's a Golden State Killer. He is the man who was just sentenced last week. Mm-hmm. He was the rapist in California. I think he actually got convicted of 50 plus rapes and 30 murders. And they finally found him 50 years later based on
familial DNA.
So my story is, I grew up in Spokane, Washington. It's kind of rural Washington state, think more Idaho really than Seattle. And this was in the 60s. So I had an older aunt. She's since passed away. But when she was a teenager, she had a really good friend named Susie. And it was a close family friend. So Susie, you know, had those kind of teenage friendships where the kid's always at your house. So Susie more or less lived with my aunt and my grandma and my grandpa at the time, and my mom as well, but my mom's 13 years different. So she was like 3, 4, 5 years old. So my aunt and Susie graduated high school. I want to say 1968, but I'm probably going to, it was definitely in the 60s. And Susie got a job with the police department in Seattle. So she moved, it was about 5 hours, moved to the other side of the state, started her job. She would come back to Spokane and stay with my aunt and my grandma on the weekends, and everything was going really, really great. And one night, my grandma gets a call in the middle of the night that Susie hadn't shown up for work. She was a records clerk, because back then women weren't really police officers. It was very irregular, but she wanted to go in law enforcement. So she was a records clerk and she worked the night shift at Seattle PD. So it was 4th of July weekend, I believe, and the whole, because she was worked for the police department, the whole city was out looking for her. They looked for 4 or 5 days everywhere, couldn't find her. Nobody knew what happened. After the holiday weekend, when everybody went back to work, they found her body in an elevator of the parking garage across the street, and she had been raped and murdered. So they had absolutely no idea, because back then there wasn't cameras, there weren't cell phones, there was no way to find out. Yeah. The last she had been seen, I believe, was like 7, 8 o'clock Friday night. I guess she used to walk through this elevator, or through this parking garage, to get to the police department building. And
back when it was safe to do so.
Or you had no choice, I guess. I don't know. So they never... They looked and looked and looked, and I actually, when we researched this initially, I looked at newspaper articles from back in the 60s, and like all of Seattle was out because they considered her one of their own. She was 19, and you know, they probably did far more of an exhaustive search for her than I won't say that they would have otherwise, but it was a very exhaustive search. They had absolutely no luck. So my family was, of course, devastated at the time, but you know, years passed. And Oh, I think it was 1960. It was 1967. So years passed. I wasn't born until 1978. So the reason I know about this story is, and it's weird that like now as I'm telling the story, it's so normalized. But my mom, I remember as a young kid, probably 5, 6, 7 years old, random times a year, probably a couple times a year, my mom would come out of her bedroom and be like, "Susie visited me last night." And as a kid, you're just like, "Oh, okay, sounds good." So pieces, supposedly, according to my mom, Susie would come visit her occasionally every couple of years, sit on the end of her bed, and would tell her either like small snippets of who to look for, or would be about to, you know, and I would say like, "Well, what did she tell you?" And, you know, my mom would be like, I don't know. She was mostly just there. But then like, she said it was a man. I'm like, "Well, okay. You know, like that's not hard to figure out."
Right.
There would never be a ton of information, but she would always say to my mom, "They're going to find him." And this was, right, this murder was in
this 19- is a ghost story and a yeah. my favorite murders. I mean, a hometown murder story.
Right. I mean, and this murder was in 1967. So up through, you know, the 90s, these stories, you know, Susie would visit occasionally, say these things to my mom.
And your mom's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
My mom, my mom's into that kind of stuff. So you're kind of like, yeah.
Okay.
But okay. Right. And it was just kind of like this okay thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, all I knew at that age was there's a family friend who had been murdered. They found her in a parking garage. That's all. So forgot all about it. You know, because obviously, like, I moved out many years ago because I'm in my 40s now. Until last
Thank summer, God.
Right? I moved out last month. So until last summer, 52 years later, they found the guy. And they found him based on the familial? Yeah.
Familial.
And they located him. He passed away in the 80s, but his family allowed them to exhume his body and they were able to use the DNA. They actually they had done a mass collection. In fact, a far more mass collection on her DNA than they ever did back in those days. Mm-hmm. And the articles I was reading in present day, were saying like, had they not gone kind of way far for that day and age on keeping everything,
yeah.
they never would have had the DNA they needed today or last summer to be able to get enough of a sample to compare it to. I think it was like a third cousin that they initially were able to connect the dots.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've seen how they do the genealogy. Mm-hmm. They use the DNA.
Familial.
And then connected that with the genealogy and narrowed it down to, you know, we think it's this guy. They exhumed his body. 100% it was him. He passed away of cancer. I'd like to say guilt cancer in 1986. But
the only time cancer doesn't suck is when it's guilt cancer.
Right. And I think there's a lot of guilt cancer out there. but, you know, I think the irony or the sad part, or I guess whatever, like serves you right. He had a bunch of kids and a wife still here, and they had to live through mm-hmm. all of this. They had to live through the realization of what happened. It turned out he was he'd been in the military like years before. He was a security guard for a building next door. And at the time, and that's how they think she was targeted and murdered, that he'd probably seen her going through that garage.
Yeah.
And knowing it was a long weekend, he had a target of opportunity. He left the area shortly thereafter, but they're currently still looking. So the working theory based on, it's not even a theory, based on evidence is people don't typically do stuff like that one time.
Nope.
So they think there's...
If that was his first, it definitely wasn't his last.
Exactly. So...
Since he didn't get caught till 50 years later.
Right. And it was very brutal and it was very thought out and it was mm-hmm. very malicious and just to be malicious, right? They didn't know each other. So they are looking back through all of the places he was stationed and lived between 1950, because I think he was a little bit older, but like from the 50s up until 86 when he died, they have a few that they think they're probably going to be able to connect to him. But what's really interesting is the lab that has done all this work and that has really come out as the leader of doing these cold cases and using the genealogy is the Parabon Nano Lab
here in Reston. Virginia. Yeah,
in Reston. So this case actually came out about the same time that they were doing the same work for Joseph D'Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
So it is actually, it took, Golden State Killer. So it, they closed the case in 2019. They officially named him as the murderer. His family has come out and said they're very sorry. And Susie's siblings are still alive. But, now his family has to live with the shame of that. And his legacy
sucks for his family because they're innocent in all this.
I mean, you would assume, but to your point earlier, it kind of like fit in perfect with what you were talking about because you just wonder, like, you always wonder, did she have signs? Did she know? Had he spoken to her and she got that creepy feeling instead of being like, you better get the fuck away from me. Like, did he offer to escort her through the building that night?
Right. Because it's a security guard, right?
Right.
And you know what's funny is I think I just heard it again, because I'm listening to so many different podcasts now, and they were talking about this security guard thing. And look, this is nothing against security guards, because I am sure there are many, 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 many good security guards. But how many? So we just sort of trust that a security guard is a good guy.
Right.
But how many security guards have turned out to be rapists and murderers and stuff? And again, I am not generalizing, but it's not something you, even the fucking cops sometimes turn out to be murderers and rapists, right? So you can't, it's just not, let me trust because they're in this uniform and they must be good people, right?
Yep.
Or, fuck, dare I say, don't even fuck the clergy. I mean, don't fuck the clergy. That's not what I meant.
Don't do that.
Don't fuck the clergy, but I meant don't fucking trust them.
Oh, no.
Trust no one.
Oh, boy. This might be our last podcast.
Trust no one is my point. Don't trust anybody just because they're in some position of authority that you think would never, right? I'm just going to leave it at that.
Everybody are people, they're individuals, right? And I think the flip side of what you're saying is always trust your gut.
Yes.
Even if I should really be able to trust whomever, if you even at all have those spidey senses, forget about it.
Because what's really interesting, so one of the other concepts in the Gift of Fear book is, he said, as he talks a lot about human nature, right? A lot. And he's researchers. So we're not different, right? Like, we have this concept that people who do that are so much different than us.
Right.
And they're not, right? He's like, everybody is capable. He tells this story of, it's a famous woman. He did not divulge her name. Where when she was young, much, much, much younger, she had a boyfriend that she was just absolutely insanely furious with for, whatever. And she just, she was just like so angry she could kill him, right? And she happened upon him crossing the street while she was in her car one day. And just out of the blue, it struck her and she just gunned it. And she barely hit him, I guess, because he heard the car coming and like jumped out of the way. But she did hit him, and she, in that moment, right? And this is somebody, I mean, he didn't divulge the name, but this is somebody now who apparently is like running some, I don't know. She has something, she's some famous person that whatever, and you would just never fucking know. You would never ever know. Right. He's basically just saying, like, where as humans, human nature is actually 100% predictable, 100% predictable. And it's the fact that we choose not to believe we could possibly be like some other person. So that human nature couldn't possibly be the same as my human nature, because that's unimaginable to me. But it's really all very predictable. And it's just a matter of using it really, you know, so it comes down to like using that intuition and kind of, and trusting it, whatever. But anyway, it's just kind of, it's interesting, right?
Yeah.
That, so yeah, trust no one and don't fuck corgi.
Don't you? So that's the, I mean, I think that's the bottom line, right?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. That's a really good story.
I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's kind of like the story of family lore for all those years. And I came along so much later. I also don't know how much that fucked with my family because there was a lot of alcoholism and things in my early years. And then my, you know, I'm sure it affected my mom and that's part of like her thing. You know, so it's this guy did something horrible to one person, but the lives and lives and lives and the ripple effect that it caused.
Right.
Is just insurmountable.
Yeah.
But it's also a good news story that 52 years later, and you know, I mean, Susie hasn't come back to talk to my mom as far as I know. I'm not going to say that did or didn't happen. I mean, she was right. They did find him.
Yeah. So who knows, right?
Who knows? Who knows? So that is my hometown.
That's a good one. And it also reminded me of, and I don't know, I didn't actually look to see if this app still exists, but, you know, talking about walking.
Moonlight?
Yes.
I looked it up.
Did you listen to that podcast episode too? Because I was like, that's fucking brilliant.
And I looked up the app because I was like, oh, I'm getting that for my niece who goes to college in 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, she's getting Moonlight. I couldn't find it.
I wonder if there's like another version of it or something.
Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, I didn't like research super hard. It was like a quick Google, but the Moonlight, what we're talking about is there is /was an app that you can turn it on your phone and you have to hold your thumb over the sensor. And if your finger comes off the sensor for any reason, you have 10 seconds to punch in a code or they call the cops to your location. And in this podcast, you and I both listened to, this woman was using it. And she did get accosted, and the app, sure enough, worked.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up getting away, but they also called her and called the police.
Mm-hmm. And they were able to at least help her, even though the guy got away. They were able to come in and find her. And anyway, I thought that was really interesting. So if that app exists, then get it. If you're a woman that walks.
I'm going to make a note on my piece of paper, and then in a week be like, "What the hell's Moonlight?"
I wonder what Moonlight was. What was I supposed to do in the Moonlight?
What am I doing in the Moonlight tonight? Oh well.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so my hometown is completely and totally different, but I think we'll find some lessons in this too. So when I was in high school, I think I'm. Might have been a sophomore, and I dated this guy who was a senior, and he was like, and by dated I mean I fucked around. I didn't go on dates in high school. I was promiscuous and had daddy issues, and I just wanted somebody to love me. So we'll just leave it at that. So he was somebody that I, you know, allowed into my life because he showed me some attention, right? So. He was star basketball player, star wrestler, star football player, right? And good looking guy, you know, Mr. Popularity, you know, all around, you know, whatever guy, but had, you know, of course, no problems fucking around with me because that's just what people did in high school, I guess. I don't know. That's what I did. Anyway, so, he was also a gymnast. So, I mean, literally like a every season sports star guy, right? And so that was, you know, we were friends /fuck buddies /whatever the hell. He graduated. So I think I was a sophomore. He graduated and he was, you know, I would say his group of friends were also like jocks, you know, athletes. He had one of his group of friends was like the student class president. And, you know, again, like all these like really popular good kids, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, fast forward to, I'm going to get the years wrong because I did do some research and I think I still have the articles and stuff, but I think it was, so I graduated in 91. They would have graduated in 89. So I want to say it was in 90 or 91 that this happened. So it wasn't that far out of high school. And I vaguely remember hearing about it when I was in high school, but I just vaguely, I don't remember a lot of anything anymore. But so basically these three guys, so Daryl was the guy that I screwed around with. And there was a guy named Will. There was a guy named Eddie. And they, what I understand of the story and what I was able to read in articles is they basically waited around for this, I'm going to say like a pub or like bar or lounge owner guy to like early in the morning to come out of, you know, the bar's closed. He comes out, he's got money, right? So, you know, he's got the deposit or whatever for the next day. And I guess the intent was to rob him. Except that I guess it was Daryl, from what I understand, hit him with a baseball bat, an aluminum baseball bat in the head. And I assume they actually did end up robbing him. They left him hit in the head. The guy did not die in that moment, went to the hospital, but I think he died a couple of weeks later from, you know, it was like, I don't know from what I was able to read that he actually died from his injuries or complications while he was in the hospital.
Wasn't he an older guy?
Older guy. Yeah. I want to say he was maybe in his 60s.
Yeah. That's what I feel like I remember.
So, you know, there was some question of whether or not, you know, was this murder or, you know, manslaughter or second degree, first degree, whatever. Well, you know, because he didn't die directly because of the brain injury, but I think he had like a heart attack and there was like all this stuff that happened. But, you know, in my eyes, I'm like, dude wouldn't have been in the fucking hospital with his brain smashed in and then, you know, have complications while he's in the hospital if somebody hadn't fucking hit him in the head with a bat.
Right. Exactly.
From what I understand, I think there were drugs involved with them. I think they may have been high on something. I'm not going to quote myself on that, but I think that's, I don't know if that's lore or if that's like truth. Cause I, again, I did a lot of research, but I was really having a hard time finding any like actual details aside from a couple of articles about the trial itself. So all three of the guys went to prison. They were all tried separately. And there was some controversy over the fact that I think like Daryl's the one that swung the bat, but he got manslaughter. And then one of the other guys actually got first or second degree murder. And they weren't even the ones that like actually swung the bat. So there was like this controversy. That's what I was reading in these articles, right? There's like this controversy over those two, the discrepancies in that. And I will say that one of the guys ended up serving his prison sentence. And I think he was the one that was probably least involved. Eddie. And he served a sentence. He had his high school sweetheart stayed with him the whole time he was in prison. I want to say it was probably 20 years. And he's been released. They are quite literally living happily ever after, doing amazingly. They have kids and I see them on Facebook and you know, it's just, so that's kind of a happy ending story, right? You know, somebody fucked up in their life like once.
Yeah.
Wrong time, wrong place, did some dumb shit, you know, was able to get in and out of prison and keep their life together, right? So, I mean, there's a good news story in that, you know, he's, you know. Now, again, I don't know if this is lore or truth because, again, I wasn't able to find anything about it, but I thought I heard that one of the other two actually killed somebody in prison at the same, like, they were at the Maryland House of Corrections, and their sentence was extended. And then, again, I wasn't able to find, so I'm not really good at research, but I really did try to find information. So, but I think I saw that the one guy, Daryl, so he's the one I screwed around with, had actually gotten out of prison and got involved with some gang in Baltimore. So apparently he didn't do so well coming out of prison as the other guy. And I believe he was supposed to like set somebody up to get murdered and he didn't do it. Like he backed out like with the gang leader or whatever. And because he backed out, they killed him.
That's like an episode of The Wire.
Yeah. It may have been. It could have been an episode of The Wire, or it could have been, except I never watched The Wire, or it could be lore, or because I did read an article that said that about a guy who was about the same age with the exact same spelling of the name, because it's an interesting spelling of his name, right? Like, it's not your normal Daryl. Same first name, same last name. So that those are the dots I was able to connect. So yes, I dated / screwed around with a future murderer. So the title of my hometown murder would be don't fuck a future murderer.
Right. Or clergy.
Yeah, or any clergy. Don't fuck with clergy. And we could, I was young and dumb and, like I said, you know, had all the fucking, I just want somebody to love me. So let me be a slut and get love any old kind of way that I can. Right. So were there signs for me to look out for then? And yeah, I mean, I can think back now, you know, cause that wasn't the first, last or only time I did some dumb shit like that in high school or outside of high school. God, I'm almost embarrassed to like tell this story. Oh, fuck it. I'll tell it anyway. It's one of those stories that makes me cringe at myself, right? Like, because I think we talked about in one of our other podcasts, might have been the one we did in Florida when we were telling.
Like, you talked about the hotel one.
Yeah, that one. But this is another one. This is another, like, I think about this and I'm like, oh, my God, Tina, like how insane, right? And this goes to, you know, don't walk alone in the dark, fuck politeness. Don't put yourself in these situations where you feel like, oh, I can't say no now because I decided I did this dumb thing. So now I got to go through it and do the other dumb thing. Right. So I used to go walking at night, you know, cause I had to get my exercise in the track in Fort Meade. Right. Gaffney.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm young. I was just out of high school. I don't think I was even 21 yet. I was, you know, maybe 19, 20 years old. And I would go walking at night and there was this guy walking. And so then we're walking together and then we're talking. And next thing I know, I'm going back to his place with him.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I know there were all these little things saying, don't. I know there were, right? Like, I know in my heart now that I did so many things like that that I knew I shouldn't be doing, but did it anyway because of whatever the driving force was in my psyche that told, you know, that, you know what I mean? It was like this fight between how fucked up I was psychologically because of my home life, right? And then this fight of like doing what's right for my safety. Do you know what I mean? Like it was like this constant, like, yeah, but you want somebody to pay attention to you. You need the attention. You need the attention. You need the attention. Cause clearly you don't get love and attention where you should be getting it. Right. You don't know what that means or what it feels like or what it's supposed to be. You certainly don't have anybody teaching you any differently. Right. And so, you know, I didn't know, but yet my intuition did. Right. So like, I didn't consciously know what I was supposed to do. So I was doing the dumb shit, but I know my intuition knew otherwise. Right. But it was like this fight, right? So it's this fight between good and evil, right? It's like, it's not the devil and the angel on your shoulder. It's the, whatever fucking bullshit you have in your brain and the way your brain's supposed to operate with the fucking intuition that you're supposed to listen to. Right.
Yes.
So I think the lesson in this is, if you're in that situation where you're like, you know, you have this fucked up sense of whatever, right? Because of psychological trauma or just, you know, fucked up stories you tell yourself or all the things you and I talk about, and you have this intuition over here, right? And they're fighting against each other. You got to go with fucking intuition.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like that. And I think if you can recognize that that's what's happening, but I think that's the struggle, right? Like you have to be able to recognize when that's happening in that moment, right? Yeah. Because we're talking about women. So like in the story, in the De Becker book, and he's talking about the girl and she's telling her story of how the guy just, she lost her bag of groceries and all the cat food rolled down the stairs and he picked it up and he's in her, you know, and he's like, we're going to go get this food to your hungry cat and, you know, these things. And she kind of, and she had said, no, I don't want your help, but he insisted and she didn't want to be rude. And, you know, so, yep. she, you know, as DeBecker is interviewing her after the fact, like his whole goal is to help them realize that they had the answers all along. Cause she's searching for answers. She wants DeBecker to give her the answers. Tell me what I missed. And yeah. as he's, you know, letting her tell her story, it's letting her realize what she missed on her own. Right. So it's helping her understand what that tuition, what those things meant. And I think that's, it was that for her, it was the pull between, well, he seems really nice, and I don't want to be rude.
That is a
right
flag. Like, do right. not be nice to me because I'm already going to be like,
right. but again, she's fighting what her intuition is telling her.
Right, and don't ever,
because on the other hand is this fucked up sense as women that we're trained that we're supposed to be ladylike and we're not supposed to be rude, and you know people want to help you, blah, 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 right? So you have your intuition. And you have this fucked up sense of whatever the fuck is ingrained in our brains from, you know, family trauma, you know, other trauma we've been through, how we were raised, you know, dumb shit our parents taught us or didn't teach us. And it's that the one thing you can count on 100% of the time. So the other shit, so, you know, if you see my hands, like the right side mm-hmm. is the fucked up shit and the left side's your intuition, 100% of the time, intuition is right.
Well, as you're sitting here talking about this, like, I have two stories in my brain, like big stories in my brain where I'm like, I hadn't ever processed how those happened as my intuition, but you know, in retrospect, that's what they were. And sometimes you can think back through and like, so I'll tell the story quickly, but I worked with this guy a long time ago, probably 2002 when I started working with him. We were actually DIA at that time and I didn't like him. There was just a vibe where I'm like, I don't like this guy. Well, I left and I moved to the Coast Guard. Well, he ended up also leaving later.
Oh, I remember you telling me the story. Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
He got, so I worked, in like the more operational side, and he worked in the headquarters of Coast Guard. We both did the same thing. So at one point our paths crossed. There was an incident. He was wrong. I reported him, and we're not talking, it wasn't a personal level, it was a security issue. I reported him just as I would have reported any fucking buddy else and how I myself would have been reported. Well, he ends up cornering me in an office and getting in my face, like coming up over the desk at me, screaming like, I'll kill you, you fucking bitch. You're trying to ruin my career. And I remember at that moment, just staring at him, like we're in a very professional setting, right? There's people on the other side of the door. And I remember sitting there thinking like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I stood up and laughed in his face and walked away. I left. I didn't report that. I told my boss, and my bosses were very protective. And I can't remember if he got moved. He got reprimanded on the sly, but I was just like, this guy's fucking nuts. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just not going to work with him anymore. Fuck him. And I think they really nailed him on the security issue because of that. Mm-hmm. But I had just never had anybody at work try to intimidate me like that. So, years later, actually my husband and I met at work in a different office back here in DC. And at that time, my husband, we were not dating at all. Like that was not the situation, but he had brought this guy's resume to me and he's like, said, you used to work at the Coast Guard. Have you ever heard of this guy? And I had maybe had one conversation with Jim before that. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm like, there's something not right with that guy. And I said to him, I said, that guy's going to fucking kill somebody someday. Mm-hmm. Do not bring him in this office. And, you know, so I find out years later that my husband then went back and sent it back to his office and said, he can't come here. And that office that guy came from was like, why? And he was like, because I'm saying he can't come here. Mm-hmm. Well, and I remember saying to Jim, who was not my husband at the time, saying like, that guy's going to fucking kill somebody someday. Let's fast forward to about what? 3 months ago, I'm in my kitchen here making dinner. Story comes on the news. This crazy guy, well, I guess I can say his name, Mike Hetley, murdered his next door neighbor last night. And I like just started shaking, and I hadn't thought about this guy, and I hadn't seen this picture in probably 10 years. I dropped what I was, I mean, literally it was like something out of a dramatic movie. I dropped what I was holding. I screamed, "Oh my God," my kids run in like, "What the fuck's going on?" His picture was up there. I just started shaking. I think I emailed you because Jim wasn't home. And I was just like, one, I was traumatized seeing that guy's face again. And second, I was like, I fucking told you. And I guess the story was this asshole, which I could have told you was going to happen 20 years ago. His next door neighbor in like Alexandria.
It was like a fight over something, right? Like some kind of dumb disagreement over something.
Like the music was too loud or something. And he took a gun and he shot this young kid. And this young kid, he was like early 20-year-old military guy with a wife and kid, fucking killed him. Yeah. And I was like, I told you, like, all along, I knew this guy was going to do that. So then, of course, come to find out that the reason why he was even out here to begin with is he had, as a cop in Seattle, also murdered two immigrants in the late 90s and was never prosecuted. So
intuition.
And some, you know, and you don't have to say why, right? You don't have to say why.
Nope.
You can just say, because I don't like you, because I don't like him.
Yeah. That's I don't politeness. Want to. Right.
No,
you don't need
no
a reason.
Full sentence. No, it's a full sentence.
Exactly. So he says that in his book too. No is a full sentence, right? Like this, it's everything. You know what? I think our podcast actually turned from just telling our murder stories to like a whole thing on, again, we ended up back with some politeness.
Yeah, but how many murders are a product of?
Right. And the gift of fear, right? And it's kind of like we can find the lessons in just about everything we've experienced. And, you know, God. Yeah. I mean, I think my epiphany in all of this from reading the book and then just talk, I have so many epiphanies when we talk through our stories. Who needs counseling when we have each
right?
other? So, you know, it was that like what you're going to have, cause we talk all the time about the stories we tell ourselves and the narratives in our head and, you know, the beliefs that we're brought up to believe or, you know, just again, on the right side, the fucked up shit that the fucked up shit. Right.
Right.
And then the intuition, your intuition is not wrong. Ever. Right? So if you're feeling this like tug between, oh, but I don't want to be rude. Oh, but they seem so nice. Oh, but it would be impolite. I shouldn't
be awkward.
Or I shouldn't report them to my boss because, you know, they won't do anything anyway. Or, you know, whatever. Because I had a similar situation at work. I don't think the guy actually ended up killing anybody, but he threatened my life in my office my first like week there, which was amazing. That in the fucking Department of Defense agency that I worked for didn't do a fucking thing. And I had to work next to him in an office, not 15 feet apart for another 3 years of my career. Anywho's, you have to trust that intuition. It's okay to not understand it.
Right.
It's okay to not have a reason for it. Right. Don't talk yourself out of what the intuition is telling you. And that's kind of what, you know, some of the things he talks about just even early on in the book. So I can't wait to get through the rest of it because, you know, the individual chapters are going to end up focusing on things like, you know, more of like the, you know, stranger danger kind of stuff versus the, you know, there'll be a chapter on like domestic violence and, you know, things like that. So there's always signs. There's always signals. Human nature is human nature. It is not mystical, right? It's just, we are all, you know, God, even, I can't think of all the examples he gave, but you know, he goes back and kind of talks about Ted Bundy and, you know, how nice Ted Bundy was, you know, so.
I mean, yeah, right. Like a lot of the like serial killers, right? The story starts
nice.
how handsome and nice they are.
Yeah, nice is not an indicator of whether or not they're actually going to kill you.
No, never.
Yeah, because actually most murderers are not mean.
Well, because they're sociopaths, so they don't have feelings.
They know how to manipulate. And,
so
you
it
know.
Doesn't matter.
So anyway, so that was our hometown stories with a little bit of life lessons weaved in there of, you know, gift, the gift of fear and intuition.
Well,
and
I'm going to check it out. I saw it's on Kindle or on Amazon. Yeah, on Kindle right now. So
yeah, definitely get it. Every woman, I think, should. That's your reading assignment for this week. I think so. Today is the Friday before we start peak week for our September 12th shows. We have 4 clients competing. We have Angela in Michigan, and then we have Nancy and Beth and Anne Marie competing in Norfolk. We're going to record some more podcasts while we're in Norfolk. We're going to do our anniversary special. Remember, please, we're going to do our first drawing while we're there, our first random drawing based on the reviews that we've gotten on Apple Podcasts. So you still have time to go.
Well, they probably won't, because this will come out after that.
We'll do this one on Saturday.
Okay.
So this will come out next Friday. So you'll have time. This is going to come out on the 11th. This podcast will come out on the 11th. We're going to do the drawing on the 12th. So that is your last opportunity.
All right.
And I think Friday night we're going to do the interview with the girls, just to, so everybody can kind of behind the scenes excitement kind of stuff. It's Labor Day weekend and the weather's supposed to be beautiful. So I have a shit ton of clients tomorrow, but then I'm supposed to go on a date with my husband.
Ooh. Well, I have my first party. We're having a derby party.
I meant to ask you because I saw that the derby was coming.
You want
to
come? No. I'm publicly inviting you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Is it tomorrow? Is it Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Yeah, I can't because I literally have clients from 10 to 4 on Saturday. And then Eric and I are supposed to go to our favorite, like, on the water little bar spot in Edgewater. So I'm hopefully we'll be able to make that happen.
Well, we're going to have a social distance derby party. So
with hats and everything. Post pictures.
Hats and masks outside.
Yay. The weather's supposed to be gorgeous this weekend. Yep. So I'm actually super excited. So
it'll be nice.
All right. So that's great. Have a good weekend, everybody. Don't get weird.
Use your head.
And your intuition.
Yes. Use that too.
Because that's in your head. That's part of using your head. And then it will all be okay.
It will be okay.
It'll all be okay. Bye.